And now it's time for us to discuss more of these headlines and simple keywords with Adam joining us via Zoom. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning and happy hump day.
Happy Wednesday indeed. Anything special for you on this Wednesday?
It's World Theatre Day today, actually.
You're kidding. You know what? They might need a little bit of boost. It never did bounce back from the pandemic, did it?
Yeah. I mean, you do get a lot of good plays here in Korea, musicals. So, yeah. For anyone listening.
That theater, not movie theaters?
No, yeah, okay. That theater.
Okay, just for clarifying.
Movies are picking up slightly, though, but... Not as many good ones. The variety is lacking a little bit compared to previous days, I must say, the cinema. But yes, in terms of the stage theatre, yes, it's World Theatre Day. So if you're up for a play or a musical, why not book one? I don't know what I'm saying.
Happy World Theatre Day. All right, let's get started with keyword news. We have many headlines to cover, as always, starting with the ongoing medical strike, our first keyword of the day.
New KMA chief.
So the Korea Medical Association has elected a new president who is expected to lead a strong protest against the government's plan to raise medical school admissions. This comes as medical professors are resigning en masse, leading to concerns of a prolonged medical vacuum. This is while the government says they can't back down with a quota. So the contingency to sit down, there is no middle ground. What's the latest?
So the election of this new president, Im Young-taek, who is the head of the Korean Pediatric Association, isn't really going to make much difference, is what a lot of pundits or watchers are saying. He was elected to be the new leader of the KMA. He won by a 65.4% vote in the final round of voting by members of the KMA, beating Choo Soo-ho, the chief KMA spokesperson. Now, Im's election is certain to further intensify the standoff with the government in regards to this whole medical school quota issue. He has argued the number of medical school admission seats must be reduced, and the KMA will not sit down for talks unless the government fires Vice Health Minister Pang Min-soo. Now, although his term officially begins on May 1st, there's a possibility he might lead the KMA's Emergency Response Committee, intensifying the struggle even before his term starts. Now, he warned that any harm to medical students, interns, or professors could lead to a general strike. Now, with the conflict between the medical community and the government unlikely to be resolved easily, an additional 200 military and public health doctors have been dispatched. They have received training at their respective medical institutions over the past 2 days. That brings a total of more than 400 military and public health doctors now working in the field to replace those on strike and fill in the medical vacuum. The government plans to support these military and public health doctors with special activity funds and overtime allowances if they work on weekends or nights. But the medical vacuum is expected to persist as medical professors join residents and medical students who are on strike as well. Professors at the Catholic University School of Medicine are scheduled to discuss a timeline for submitting resignations today. Professors at Kemyeong University School of Medicine are expected to submit their resignations today as well. Professors at Sungkyungwan University School of Medicine plan to submit their resignations on the 28th. Now, meanwhile, Prime Minister Han Duck-soo did meet with people from the medical and education fields at Seoul National University Hospital. He said the government had trouble sharing its true intentions with doctors because there wasn't an official way to talk to them. And he said he hopes the meeting that he took part in will start a good conversation between the government and doctors going forward. Yeah, I mean, both sides are open to talk, but they're attaching a lot of conditions to these talks.
Right.
And they're pretty adamant on their respective stances. So what good will come about these talks if they do happen is the question now, but we'll have to see.
All right. So it seems the medical community wants the quota to be scrapped before they even start negotiating, start from scratch, essentially. The government, at least the ministers, especially of education and health, are getting together to try to see if there's some wiggle room there. I saw that President Yoon mentioned that maybe for next year's budget discussions, the medical community can take part. I don't know if that would alleviate tensions a little bit. We'll wait and see, which is what we've been doing for weeks on end for now.
It has been a while now since we've discussing pretty much the same message.
Similar circumstances.
Similar circumstances, just little details and new developments. But overall, the standoff continues, unfortunately.
Let's move on to our second keyword of the day.
Bio industry.
So President Yoon has pledged to foster the country's biopharmaceutical industry into a 200 trillion won sector by 2035. This came in another policy debate in Cheongju, North Chungcheong province. Can you run us through the plan? Because when we start talking trillions of wons, it doesn't really hit us with exactly what scale, what scope.
Right. It is certainly a substantive number. An ambitious kind of goal, to say the least. Now, Yoon said this will be done through an increase in the government budget allocation for research and development, something we'll get onto in our next keywords. Now, he vowed to foster North Chungcheong into a leading base for the bio industry. He said the existing advanced medical complex in Osun will be fostered into the Korean equivalent of the Boston Cluster, where hundreds of academic institutions and startups have been established for bio research. He pledged to expand support for the so-called K-Bio Square in the city of Cheongju to accommodate not only bio firms and institutions, but also related accounting and legal services. Now, it is expected to play a central role in the expansion of the Osun complex. Now, Yoon believes it will generate an added value of 2.1 trillion won and 29,000 jobs. And he also promised support for challenging and innovative research. He also pledged tax incentives and regulatory improvements to facilitate the rapid market launch of innovative technologies. The government will also support R&D projects dedicated to securing core technology that will solve a diverse range of problems related to climate change, food shortages, as well as contagious diseases. Personalized treatment for illnesses like cancer will also get a boost from AI-powered bio projects. Furthermore, separately, Yoon committed to improving North Chungcheong's tourism and transportation infrastructure as well. That's something of a common kind of pledge that he's been making of areas outside of the capital area. But a bio industry cluster is the main focus of Cheongju and North Chungcheong province.
All right, we'll wait and see. And as you mentioned earlier, the government budget allocation, what's in the works? We move on to our third keyword of the day.
Budget plan.
We start planning really early, don't we? Plans for next year's government budget have been announced. Tell us more.
Yeah, the reason probably for that early kind of announcement and kind of guidelines and plans is because budgets are always
contentious, divisive.
Contentious, to say the least. Yes,
politicized, divisive.
Those are good words to describe it. Yes, indeed.
It's so tricky.
Yeah, getting it out early and trying to find some middle ground as the year goes by is what usually happens when it comes to budgets. And next year's one, according to the government anyway, will focus on research and development, addressing low birth rates and expanding essential and regional healthcare. Now, while keeping an eye on the sound fiscal management, the increase in total spending for next year's budget will be limited as it was for this year. This year's budget already saw a modest increase of only about 2.8% from last year. Next year's total expenditure is expected to increase by less than 5%, possibly reaching around 680 to 690 trillion won. R&D was added back as a primary governmental spending focus following strong backlash from the scientific field over exclusion this year. Now, the government seeks to increase the budget for R&D investment in advanced technologies, especially such as AI, bio, and quantum sectors. Strengthening welfare programs for vulnerable groups will also be a focus for next year. The government plans to spend more to support child rearing and education, as well as ensure gender equality to boost the birth rate as well. Now, government ministries and agencies will use the guidelines to draw up their spending plans by the end of May, which will be submitted to the National Assembly by September 2nd after consulting with various entities and bodies and receiving public input as well. So we'll have to see how much opposition it will face from the Democratic Party, of which there's probably going to be a lot. But there you have it. Those are the plans. It's more focused on R&D. So R&D is making a comeback for next year.
Okay. And as we move on to our fourth keyword, South Korea to mark a somber occasion. This is our next keyword.
Remembering Chun'an.
So the Navy held a remembrance ceremony yesterday for sailors who were killed during the 2010 sinking of the Chun'an warship by a North Korean torpedo attack.
Yes, this attack killed 46 sailors, while 55 others were rescued. The ceremony took place on the 14th anniversary of the attack at the Second Fleet in Pyeongtaek. It was attended by bereaved family members and sailors who survived the incident, as well as other related officials. The participants toured the salvaged warship as well on display at the unit, as well as the new Cheneng frigate, which entered into service last year. Defense Minister Shin Won-sik called for defending the Western Sea border against enemy threats. He said North Korea is claiming the northern limit line as a ghost line without legal grounds and is continuously trying to nullify it. He was speaking during phone talks with the commanding officer of the new frigate, Park Yun-su. Park, in response, vowed to avenge the sailors of the Cheneng warship if the enemy undertook a provocation. Now, Park actually served on the previous warship. He is a survivor of the 2010 attack, and he'll be commanding the new warship as well of the same name. So, yes, it is a dark day of Korean history. Yes, so there was a remembrance ceremony to mark the occasion.
14th anniversary of the sinking of the Cheneng warship. Let's move on to our fifth keyword of the day.
Talks ruled out.
So a tense exchange of words between the two Koreas ensued during a UN conference on disarmament. You want to talk about no middle ground? I think this is another place of discussion. Run us through what was said.
Yeah, so it seems like, anyway, according to reports, one of those, you know, awkward moments where everyone sat around the dinner table and only two people are arguing while all the others listen kind of affair. South Korea, but alongside countries like the US, UK, France, Japan and Ukraine, criticized North Korea for its illegal military actions. North Korea retorted by stating it has no interest in talking with South Korea. Seoul expressed disappointment and encouraged Pyongyang to pay attention to the global community, urging for dialogue. The conference saw these nations condemning the North for violating UNSC resolutions by continuing its nuclear and missile activities. North Korea's representative, Ju Young-cho, strongly rejected these resolutions and emphasized the necessity of enhancing the regime's military nuclear capabilities. South Korea criticized North Korea for ignoring international law, with the South Korean representative Kim Il-sung reminding that UNSC resolutions are not fabricated but legally binding for all UN member states according to the UN Charter. Kim stressed that North Korea's blame on non-existent hostile policies and pursuit of weapons of mass destruction only weakens its security. But North Korea accused South Korea of contributing to potential war scenarios by conducting numerous joint military drills and bringing U.S. strategic assets into the Korean Peninsula. So, yeah, a lot of bad blood between the two Koreas. Basically, all the issues that we've mentioned on this segment before, especially after the Yoon administration took office, they were kind of all laid out here, kind of, you know, pointing fingers at each other. Inter-Korean relations at possibly record lows, more tense than ever. No real room for improvement, especially with the hardline stance of the Yoon administration. The Biden administration, a lot of observers say that the North Korean issues are taking a bit of a back burner in terms of the Biden administration's policy objectives and goals. But we'll have to see in November if that all changes.
The U.S. presidential election. Right. Polls indicate for now it seems that Trump is likely to win. That's several different polls, but it's, you know, projected to be a close race. And November in political calendar, from what I understand, is months and months and months and months away.
It is quite a while away. But one thing that is a recurring trend is that in the U.S., no matter who takes office, whether it's a conservative or liberal government, and even when Trump was in office as well, usually because they are strong, South Korea and the U.S. are strong military allies, no matter who's in office in the White House, they usually go with the kind of stance that the South Korean government holds. So if a conservative government, a more hardline stance on North Korea is practiced in South Korea, usually the White House does follow suit and is in agreement with that kind of stance.
But who says Donald Trump is a predictable conservative? He's not even a full politician.
that is true. But of course, Moon Jae-in, a very liberal president, was in office when Trump was U.S. president. And that led to the whole inter-Korean summit and U.S. and former U.S. President Donald Trump meeting Kim Jong-un as well, which probably... But since that happened, maybe he might want to continue with that in the when the administration is in office. So will he change his stance? Will he want to kind of get that peace policy in place again and pressure South Korea to do so? It remains to be seen. But of course, that is, of course, if he is elected. So this is all in hindsight.
And speculations, I suppose. For now, anyway. Thank you so much, Adam, for a detailed coverage. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome. I'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.